Budget and Economic Outlook Presentation, January 21, 2015.
Well, good morning, councilors. We got something new here this morning. I'd like to point out our new deputy county manager, Bob Stevens, who is also our new general services director. So I'd like to congratulate Bob on his new titles and his new duties.
Yeah.
For a minute there, I thought you were going to be the new sheriff.
Well, we are blessed.
Something new.
Right. We are blessed with his presence, Sheriff Chuck Atkins. Welcome.
Yes.
So anyway, I'm going to turn the presentation over to Bob. We can't call him Budget Bob anymore, though.
That's true. We're passing the torch. There's no longer a Budget Bob. Budget Bob is dead. So long live Dr. Budget Adriana. If we have to have.
There's no change. I think she did the work before.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. I appreciate your support. Well, we're here today with what I will categorize as continuing good news. We continue to see incremental improvement. I don't want to overstate the fact that we're not out of the woods. We have to maintain the discipline that we have shown for the last 18 months. But I believe that we are on the right track. And with that, I'll turn it over to Adriana.
Good morning. This is our quarterly budget and economic outlook work session where we take a look at the overall health of the general fund. We look at the revenue and expense plan, which is the budget, and then we compare to actual performance and we estimate the health of the general fund. And we also review the general outlook of the economy for the national and local economy as it relates directly to our revenue and expense trends. And as usual, I will start with the roadmap of the presentation. We are going to review the general fund budget for 13-14, and that budget currently includes all of the final changes that were made through the final supplementals. We are going to take a look at the actual performance, the soft close, which at this point we only have preliminary final numbers for the biennium. We are going to actually have a final close sometime in February. Things can still change significantly until then. We still have expenditures to post to 2014, and we still have delayed revenues that we expect to come in. You will hear the actual final close numbers from the auditor's office. They also do a quarterly presentation, and they will be due to speak as soon as February closes. As soon as the year closes in February, they'll have those actual numbers. And as usual, we will review the national and local economic outlook. This is a summary for today's work session. Basically, the final budget for 13-14 for the general fund plans to use $12.6 million from unassigned reserves. That is based on the final budget with all of the final adjustments that were made in the final supplemental, as well as that emergency supplemental we had in order to budget the $2.3 million for the CRESA radios. That's also expected to happen out of the current biennium expenditures, out of 13-14 expenditures.
In other words, we expected you to use 12.6, and instead we expect now that it's going to be 2, so it would be a $10.6 million difference.
Correct. That was going to be my next statement. So the current forecast expects to use $2 million instead of the 12.6, and that includes the assumption that we will pay for those CRESA radios out of the current biennium. That would put our reserves projected at 56 days at the beginning of 2015, whereas according to our fund balance policy, the recommended level is 52 days. And then we will review the global, national, and local economic outlook. It continues to be positive. We are cautiously optimistic, but we will also discuss some significant risks that remain on the horizon. So to get started with our general fund outlook for 13-14, the current planned budget for expenditures is $318.5 million. And how it is planned to pay for that is $301.2 million coming from ongoing revenues for the biennium, $4.7 million coming out of dedicated reserves, what we call assigned reserves, set aside funds for dedicated purposes. And that includes expenditures for the general fund share for the Tidemark replacement project, the event center support, one-time support for the event center, and the sheriff's record system. Those are the major things in that 4.7 that's coming out of the dedicated assigned fund balance. Also, we were planning to use $12.6 million from unassigned reserves, and that sums up to the total $318.5 planned or budgeted expenditures. How are we looking compared to that? Again, these are projections, not the actual final numbers you will see in February, but at this point we are projecting that our expenditures are going to be $305.5 million. That assumes we will pay for those Cresa radios this current biennium. I know they're still working on that invoice and trying to post it to the current biennium. And that is the $2.3 million we budgeted in the last emergency supplemental. And so basically we are expecting to receive $298.8 million in revenues, and that assumes some late billings will be coming in. We monitor revenues very closely, and we know there are some delayed billings that should still post to December. When all is said and done, we expect $298.8 million to come in from the 13-14 biennium. The 4.7 that's coming out of, it's already been spent, coming out of the dedicated funds, and then we only expect to use $2 million from unassigned reserves instead of the planned $12.6 million, which is a $10.6 million savings versus budget. And those savings are coming mostly from salaries and benefit savings, as well as that portion of the department's budget that we call controllables, that is under departmental control. So we expect that to sum up to 10.6 in savings. So where does that put fund balance for the unassigned reserves? This is the portion that we care about, that we always refer to as the number of ideal fund balance days of reserve. We started in January 2013 with 24.5. The actual official CAFR number is 24.2, but what happened, we reduced the portion of the general fund that pays for Tidemark by $300,000, which puts $300,000 back in into unassigned fund balance. We are projecting to only need to use $2 million, which would put our fund balance by the beginning of 2015 at 22.5 million, and that translates into 56 days. The actual amount of needed fund balance can vary from year to year. It depends on our ongoing operational cost for the year. We are estimated based on the baseline expenditures plus the decision packages approved, the total budget for 2015 for expenses, that a daily cost of operations is about $400,000. So therefore, 56 days, that's 22.5 projected million, gives 56 days, slightly above that recommended amount of 52 days. Again, that is all a projection. We'll have to see how the final numbers come in February. But at this point, we are expecting to be above that, slightly above that minimum level of desirable fund balance. Switching on to the global and national economic outlook, the U.S. economy continues modest growth. Not all of the indicators are positive, but we are overall moving in a positive direction. We're seeing improvements in consumer and business confidence. The consumer confidence index was at 92.6 as of the end of December, where values over 90 are healthy and values over 100 signify strong economic growth. And that's definitely above the lowest point during the recession of 25 and in a direction that signifies good growth. According to Moody's Analytics, also business confidence has improved significantly. Business sentiment is at a record high since the recession. U.S. businesses are upbeat. They have a good outlook for investment spending, sales, and hiring, which are doing well. Credit availability has also improved notably. Expectations overall regarding the U.S. economy are strong. In December, small business optimism was at the highest point since October 2006. And some of the reason, part of the reason why both consumer and business confidence are high is also the lower oil prices, which are a function of what's happening both on the demand and the supply side. On the supply side, we're seeing an increased U.S. production, and on the demand side, we're actually seeing less demand, especially because of the slowness in economies outside the United States. And there's actually a little less domestic demand as well with some of the demographic changes. Employment is growing and unemployment is declining. Over the last 12 months, we've seen the U.S. economy adding constantly over 200,000 jobs a month, which is a very good direction. And that growth in employment has been absorbing both the unemployed as well as the young entrants into the workforce, which is a very good thing. The gross domestic product has grown at a 5% annualized rate in the third quarter, following 4.6 growth in the second quarter and a contraction due to the weather disruptions in the first quarter of 2.1%. On the not so positive side, you've probably seen a lot of discussion lately about wage growth lagging when actually looking at the inflation and the growth in wages. And adjusting for that, the real wage growth is very small, under 1% for 2014. And also on the cautionary side, the housing market, which has made a good recovery since the recession, has slowed down. We're seeing a slowdown overall for the nation in residential construction and home sales. There's a declining inventory of distressed homes for sale, which have propped sales, so we're actually seeing, naturally, we're seeing a decline in investor purchases. And also the market for construction for single-family residence homes remains modest compared to pre-recession and even the pre-bubble activity. We're also seeing nationwide a growth or less growth or even a stalling in certain areas of the growth in home prices. So that's another slowdown sign in the housing market. Outside the U.S., that's where most of the issues remain. Growth is sluggish or stalled. When we look at the world economy, GDP growth is slower than during the pre-recession period. And, for example, world GDP grew at 2.6% in 2014, and the United Nations is forecasting growth of 3.1% and 3.3% for 15 and 16. And we're seeing rather fragile and uneven growth among countries. And I will discuss more of that when we talk about the risks for the economy. The local economy is doing really well. Clark County added 7,000 jobs in the last 12 months. We have a strong annual growth rate of 4.9% over the last 12 months. That compares to a growth rate of 2% nationwide, statewide 2.7%, and the Portland metro area, which actually includes Clark County, 2.6%. October 2014 is the latest data point we have for the reliable adjusted unemployment rate, where Clark County's unemployment was 7.5%, compared with 5.5% nationwide, 5.8% statewide, and 6.1% for the Portland metro area. And we've seen local job gains that occurred in trade, transportation and utilities, professional and business services, construction and education and health services. Those continue to be the four major sectors for economic growth in Clark County. On the housing market for Clark County, housing inventory was actually on a low end with 3.4 months of supply in December 2014. Usually winter inventory is a little higher, but we're seeing a rather tight supply of inventory of homes. The median home sold for $245,600 in December 2014, so the price was up about 8.5% for the year for the 12 months in 2014. Countywide residential building permits issued through November 2014 compared with the same months in 2013, so the first 11 months of the year compared to the first 11 months in 2013. Single family has actually seen a slight decline at 6%. Multifamily, even though we see a 21% decline, however, the level of activity, we had 820 permits issued for multifamily in 2014 for the first 11 months. That is actually double the norm for that time of the year if you look at the historical 10-year average. So we're still seeing a continued demand and activity for multifamily residents, which makes sense given the economy and given the affordability factor and the number of young adults entering the workforce and the competitive market. That makes sense that there's more demand for multifamily. Countywide taxable retail sales for Clark County were up 9.5% in the third quarter of 2014 compared with the third quarter of 2013. We have to compare the same time frame in the year to the previous year because of seasonality factors. Construction-related sales were up 9%. Vehicle sales were up 13%, so we're still seeing a continued demand for people renewing their vehicles, which was something that was postponed during the recession. So the age of the fleet, it was older than under normal circumstances. Overall, we've seen a 9% growth in taxable retail sales so far for 2014 compared to the previous year. And overall, as I said, we're moving in a positive direction, especially the U.S. economy, but there are significant risks that remain for the U.S. economy and for the world economy. In particular, the global economy is this is a nice quote that I really like from the World Bank chief economist that says the global economy is running on a single engine, the American one. When looking outside the U.S. economy, there's a lot of slowness and a lot of issues in both existing advanced economies as well as other less developed or emerging economies. Whereas the sense of crisis that was present for years dissipated, those risks remain. And, for example, Western Europe continues to struggle. In the Eurozone, the GDP only grew at 1.2% in 2014. The United Nations is forecasting 1.5% and 1.9% growth for 2015-16. Japan's growth was less than 0.5% in 2014, and what happened there was that private consumption was really restrained by the passage of a tax. And China's growth has also slowed down, whereas China has seen, before the recession period, China has seen 10% growth for many decades. They're more in the 7% range now, and they're having some issues as well with a later crisis in real estate. That adds to major concerns that remain because of geopolitical tensions such as Russia and Ukraine, which negatively affect financial and economic markets. And also at home, uncertainty regarding U.S. federal fiscal policy, that remains a concern for the economy. In October, the federal government ended its quantitative easing program. There's some concern about interest rates potentially gradually going up throughout the year in 2015 and how the market is going to react to that and how much financial volatility there could be because of it. However, there is an expectation that the Fed will remain accommodative overall in the economy. They will be taking a more neutral stance, but that the policy will remain accommodative. So overall, to conclude, we are projecting the general fund is in a cautiously optimistic, healthy state. We're projecting to start the 15-16 biennium with 56 days of reserves, slightly above the recommended level of 52 days. Again, with the reminder that when the board adopted the 15-16 budget, it was a bare bones budget that had very few added things in it for some very essential life safety issue. And there are other projects and things that we know have to be done that were to be looked at as monies become available. So as the board's looking at the supplemental for the spring that's coming up in March, that might be a consideration if there's any additional fund balance, if any of those projects would be addressed. The current economic conditions and expected trends for modest growth are consistent with the county forecast for revenues and expenses at this point, and those risks remain as we discussed, but we also remain cautiously optimistic about the state of the economy and cautiously optimistic that our forecasted revenues and the economic trends will be on track with what we've planned for 15-16. So that's all I have.
Sounds good. It's better than we thought. Our first look. So it's encouraging. I met with some big businesses yesterday and kind of got the same impression from them. So very, very impressed, very happy with what we have.
I really appreciate the update. Am I off?
But no.
So I gave you the good microphone. So I can raise my voice a little bit. So thank you very much for preparing the update. I think we're all concerned about the entire world market. If we're paying attention to that and how it affects all of us. And in the United States, we have a number of factors, including international trade anymore, which that balance becomes a big deal to us in this country and in our economy. I don't doubt the statistics, but on the ground, I don't feel as optimistic as some of the numbers show. For our employment and unemployment,
right.
Do we look at average wage for Clark County? I know we're saying that wages
right.
are tending to be draining.
Right.
So those are all factors that are kind of integrated too. And then on the car sales, this is just a real specific question. So Vancouver now is mm-hmm. a hub regionally for mm-hmm. car sales, but just because somebody buys a car here doesn't mean they're leaving sales tax
right.
here for us. Do we have any idea how much of the car sales, for example, actually result in any revenue for us here?
The revenue that we get here is from Clark County residents that are purchasing cars, no matter where they're purchasing them, correct? No, I believe there's some data on exemptions for Portland residents that the state might have, but I don't believe those data are available in that format. I'll contact the state of the Department of Revenue and see if they have any such figures.
And that might be more work even than you need to do. It's just if when we see car sales up 13%, that could be really exciting as an economic factor. But I think because we are a hub and we sell in the region and all of that, doesn't need sales tax here.
But the data that we're actually discussing is the taxable retail sales data for Clark County. That means we actually get that revenue.
Oh,
so
it does.
Correct. Yes.
So it's not just total
cars. No, it's taxable, so we actually get the revenue.
Thank you. That's the clarification.
Sure. And I'll look into the average growth for Clark County. The average wage growth, I know our Clark County economist was looking at some of the data, and we were waiting for an analysis in a future report. The Department of ESD, Employment Security Department, has some of those data. I'll take a look, and I'll get back to you.
On a national level, we're concerned about the number of people who just fail to apply for any job anymore. So I forget what their term is.
Right.
Labor participation rate.
Right.
Yes, thank you. Do we have any idea what that is? In other words,
yes.
People who could be employed
right.
but aren't employed,
right.
they may be on extended unemployment, but people who've
right.
given up.
Right. There's actually still an issue with the economy, with the labor participation rate. There's an increase, but it is still low compared to historical patterns. And there's a measure of utilization of unemployment that is called the U measure of unemployment, which actually accounts for those that are not actively looking for employment anymore, and for those that are unemployed, that are part-time employed for economic reasons. So there's underutilization in the workforce. And usually just the, and I can get you more specific numbers. I don't believe we have it for Clark County, but usually the rule of thumb is that it would be double, just about double the actual unemployment rate reported once we account for those individuals as well.
And those kinds of numbers are really important. look at our attempts to do job creation. And we can't actually do the job creation, but in our region, we can work through our other partners to help open the door to businesses locating in responsible ways to breach some of the barriers they might have if they want to locate here. But it isn't as simple as just finding qualified employees. We know it's more complicated than that. Thank you.
I look forward to the regional economist Scott Bailey's report coming up. We expect probably within a week or so it will give us one more bit of input. It contrasts Clark County to the other areas he's been comparing year or month by month. I'm thankful that we are financially conservative. We're sound. The cautious stewardship that is exercised here, and the full disclosure, there's no games, there's no somehow moving things around. The transparency in the way that the principles that you embraced, these are real numbers. We're depending on that, and there's a lot of trust there. So thank you very much for that. I see that the 56 days versus the 52 days, 4-day difference, about $400,000 per day, says that there's left about $1.6 million potentially above what our recommended policies are. I'd like to still stay conservative. I'm aware of the wish list that was evaluated in the last budget adopt. There were some things that we held back to make sure that we don't somehow expect the money's going to be there. Living within our means and ensuring that those bare bones budget that was adopted, some of those things that we held back, certainly some of those are important. Some of those need to be taken care of, and the prioritization of what is important one time to bring us to make sure that we're our maintenance, our whatever we've been holding off, those investments, I assume that we'll be looking at those as a smart priority, and whatever we do, don't somehow sign up for a continuing expenditure for the future, but take care of those things one time, so live by the ship. Thank you so much for the very clear, concisely well presented budget outlook, not only for Clark County, but for the nation and globally. Look forward to each of these. We do this every
quarterly.
We do it quarterly.
Right?
3 months.
And you said after the February final numbers come in, is there going to be what kind of...
The auditor's office will have, they also have a quarterly presentation that's not just focused on the general fund, it's countywide. But at that point, there will be final numbers available. These are still projections. This is based on the soft close, but once the auditor's office fully closes the year with what we call a hard close, they'll come in and they'll present in February, and then we'll be much closer at that point. We'll know for sure where the year ended.
Okay, so that'll be a presentation by the auditor's office after the February, was it?
Hard close.
Right.
Great, look forward to that. Very good. Mr. Manager, you want to say anything else?
No, just once again, congratulations to Adriana, Dr. Bode.
Thank you.
That's an Adriana approved nickname, so you're welcome. So thank you very much.
Thank you.